used to have this rule when I was preaching that I would always preach on the piece of scripture that I found most troubling. And I skillfully avoided that this week by not going anywhere near the letter to the Ephesians, given our theme of Epiphany. But it does make me think we should dig into Paul a little bit at some point. But I want to think tonight, as we celebrate Epiphany, about how we experience God, about how we know who Jesus is. What resources do you trust to give you that information? Because we have textbooks, we can attend lectures, we of course have scripture, and maybe sermons. But what about thinking of yourself as a resource that you can trust to tell you about God, who God is, and how God participates in the world? Because this Sunday we celebrate Epiphany and read a pretty interesting tale about the Magi, or the kings, or the wise guys, or whatever you want to call them, who trick Herod so that he will not see his plan through to rid the country of Jesus at the beginning of his life, who follow the beckoning of a star and take in the Jesus child and see and know, who see all that Jesus is and all that he holds within him, all of that overwhelming possibility. Possibility that scares Herod so much that he wants to extinguish it before it even has the chance to begin. And there's so much possibility or promise that lay in that tiny human, in one of the least powerful places, that it was enough to change everything. And these three see the baby and they just know. They can sense it. Their bodies, their hearts, their minds tune in and know that something is different about this child. And so I feel like this piece of scripture tells us something or gives us a clue about how we might take in information about God, not just through the reading of scripture or books, but with our own bodies. There is something within us that knows the divine when we are in its presence, and we'll tune into it, right? We'll tune or turn towards it. We'll be drawn to it. And a few days ago, I was riding the bus home and listening to a podcast, as is my way of avoiding the rest of the world. And I was listening to this fellow, Leng Lim, who's a priest and I think also works in the business world. And he was telling his story, and he said something like this. He said, "Nature is scripture." And he said, "If scripture is in nature, then it is also in me. And my experience is also a valid source of knowing God." Nature is scripture. And if that's the case, then it is also in me, also in you. And that means that you are also a valid source of knowing God. So we talk about creation being made of the stuff of God, and we tell it even in our creation story in Genesis. My experience, your lived encounters with one another and with nature, within yourself, are valid sources of knowing God. Of course, there are also sources that are very helpful and important, and we would not want to only have our own experience to inform our understanding of God, right? Because only having one source of information about God can seriously limit also your understanding of God. And I would also argue that it can limit what you allow God to do in your life. But your experience is valid, and it's a useful source of information. Your body, your experience, your love, your connection to others and to the world. But that also tells me that I don't have all of the information unto myself, that none of us does. As well as my own experience, I have to listen to yours. I have to pay attention to your experience too, to how you live your life, to the places that you invest in, because that will also help me to have a wider understanding of God and of God's creation. And I was thinking about this as we're coming out of the holidays, right? Where some of us spent some time with family, which for some of us is complicated and painful, because family can be complicated and painful, at least in my experience. So how do we know God in and amongst all of that? How do we know the God of possibility in situations that can be hard among families who may not be very good at loving us for who we are, who cannot see all of the beauty that resides in each of us? And I wish I had a really good answer for that. I feel like for many of us, our relationships status with family should just be labeled, it's complicated. And there's no way easy way out of that. And so I want to take a moment to say, for those of you who risked being with family this season and are still recovering from it because of the many hopeful expectations that this season sets up for us, because of the parts of us that we could not reveal because it wasn't safe, because of our family's inability to see the beauty that resides, I want to take a minute to publicly remind you that your experience of God is real and true, and that God's love for you has not shifted even a little, that you are still and always will be beloved of God because of who you are and not despite anything. Because sometimes it's hard to see the divine in one another. But if we can, we can have the possibility of moving towards grace. If we can see where we are working in the world to make it a little bit better, if we can hear the connections that we have with God, if I allow myself to be open to you, sometimes I can find a way to make space, which can be really beautiful. Even in family. And sometimes, remembering that our own lived experience of God or where God is and what God feels like can help us to have grace with ourselves. To remember that we too are important members of God's kingdom, that we too are worthy of love and grace. And I would like to suggest that it is exactly this possibility that scares the world's powerful so much that they want to snuff it out. The incredible fact that it is offered through God, that each of us are worthy of love, that each of us holds within us an experience of and information about the divine, that we participate in a world that is real in really important and meaningful ways by sharing that love, is scary to some. Because a world based on love and grace is a very different kind of world, and it is much harder to control. And so I would ask again, how do you know God? How do you know the experience of Jesus Christ? And where and with whom? Because that will tell you something about you and about community and about where you might be called to be. I didn't know as much about God as I do now, and that is because of this community, because of the ministry that we do together. Because of the way that we are building this congregation and this community, and because many of you have given me the great privilege of inviting me into your story. Your stories have tangled with mine and interrupted my assumptions and changed me, changed where I find grace and how I am willing to offer it. And that's what happens when we trust our experience of God, when we allow that information that we receive from our own experiences and from each other's stories. We change each other. We know God together. So Jesus coming into the world changed everything, at least as I understand it, about power, about our understanding of it, about who we are invited to align ourselves with and what we should be working to change, about love and grace and how we are to share it. The world, our world, sometimes our families don't think that they are ready for this kind of love yet. But I don't know that they will ever be. And so we just have to keep going. The world didn't think it was ready for a baby who was born to show us what God is like. And God sent them anyways. So I just want to say to you, or invite you, to trust your experience of God and of love. Know that you have within you, within your experience of friendship and body, important information about God and where God can be found. And that changes everything. This season of Epiphany is about acknowledging that Christ is here in the most unsuspecting of places and attending to it. We look for those glimmers of light, and then we work to protect them so that they can burn brighter, so that more can see, so that God can be made known through us. We have been watching for the light, and now we give room for it to burn bright in a world that so badly needs it. And so I just want to close with these few words from Enter with Joy, which is a communion liturgy from Epiphany, or for Epiphany, I believe from the Iona community. May the peace of the Epiphany God, the joyful peace of finding, the enlightening peace of seeing, the challenging peace of understanding, the radical peace of following a different route, energize and encourage you as you travel onwards. Amen.